My name is Lindsay Terry, and you'll hear me say that many times through the tape, and I hope that this tape is something that you'll enjoy listening to in your home, perhaps, or in school, or at devotional time. But I have designed the tape so that it could be used by a pastor on a radio broadcast. He might drop one story in each week in his radio broadcast. So that's the reason I close each of the segments with "I'm Lindsay Terry," and that's the story behind the song. I trust and hope and pray that these stories are meaningful to you. Ira Stanfield is a great songwriter, and he did something in earlier years that was a wonderful custom, I think. He would go into a service, and while the congregation were singing songs, he would ask the choir to present to him what they thought would be good titles for songs. And right there during the musical portion of the service, he would write a song. He was one day preaching in a revival meeting in Kansas City, Missouri. And as his custom, he asked the choir to present titles for songs. He thumbed through them very quickly and saw this title, "Room at the Cross for You." And that struck a responsive chord in his mind, and so he quickly wrote a song and sang it for the people before the service had ended, or before they had left to go home. He thought to himself, that's not too good of a job, and so he promised them that he would go through the titles and do something much better for them and have it ready for the evening service. Well, he chose what he thought was a good title and wrote what he thought was a good song, but the song that he wrote so painstakingly in the evening has never been known, really. But the song that he wrote while just quickly writing in the service has gone around the world. It's a favorite to many, many people. The cross upon which Jesus died is a shelter in which I can hide, and His grace so free is sufficient for me, as deep as its fountain, as wide as the sea. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross. I'm Lindsay Terry, and that's the story behind the song. Richard Blanchard was a pastor in Florida, and as most pastors, he often would perform weddings, have funerals, do the things that pastors do. One day a young couple made an appointment with him. They wanted to be married, but he said, "I'll have to have you come for some counseling before I will marry you." And so his secretary made an appointment with them. The day came, the time arrived that they were to be there, but they did not show up. 10 minutes went by, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. He became very irritated, and he thought, I don't know about this. And so they arrived about 30 minutes late. He went ahead with the counseling session, but he told them, "I'm going to have to talk with you again. I need to see you again before we have the wedding ceremony." And so they made the appointed time. Well, once again, the time came, and they were 10 minutes, 15 minutes late, 20 minutes late. He became very angry, and he told his secretary, he said, "I'm going out in one of the Sunday school classrooms, and I'm going to wait out there, and if they haven't come within the next few minutes, then I'm just going to go on home and I'll forget about the wedding." While he was there in the Sunday school classroom, he sat down to a piano. He was a tremendous musician. Is a tremendous musician, I should say. And he began to just improvise on the piano. He was angry. And yet God, in spite of this anger, used him to write a wonderful song. Because as he began to improvise on the piano, words began to form in his mind. wonderful song that goes like this. Like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things that could not satisfy. And then I heard my Savior speaking, draw from my well that never shall run dry. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting in my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. I'm Lindsay Terry, and that's the story behind the song. Out over the city of Chicago, from radio station WMBI, located at Moody Bible Institute, floated the beautiful strands of John W. Peterson's song, Over the Sunset Mountains. It had been written only a short time earlier. The audience reaction was unusual, to say the least. Requests just began to pour in for copies of the song. Well, so encouraged was young Mr. Peterson by the tremendous response that he hired the services of the RCA recording studio and proceeded to make a demonstration record using the talents of Bill Pierce and Dick Anthony. Well, in 1953, the song soon came to the attention of publishers of a famous sheet music company. The company offered to publish the song, but with some reservations, namely that the reference to Jesus be changed to avoid offending some religious groups. The idea of heaven was fine, they told him, but they wanted the reference to Jesus deleted. And though Peterson was young and inexperienced, he had presence of mind enough to realize that he couldn't weaken his song by weakening the message of the song. And he remembered that the Bible teaches that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, and so he just did not want the name of Jesus to be omitted. He left without signing a contract, and was comforted in the belief that he had done the right thing, made the right decision. As he drove home, he began to write another song, and this was his answer to that situation. The song was entitled, My Song. It begins, I have no song to sing but that of Christ my King. To him my praise I'll bring forevermore. Both of these songs have blessed the hearts of thousands in the United States and the world over, and I'm thankful for John Peterson, and for this wonderful song. Over the sunset mountains, someday I'll softly go into the arms of Jesus, He who has loved me so. Over the sunset mountains, heaven awaits for me. Over the sunset mountains, Jesus, my Savior, I'll see. I'm Lindsay Terry, and that's the story behind the song. Some years ago in Grand Prairie, Texas, they were holding a missionary conference. An elderly missionary statesman by the name of Charles Greenaway stood to give a word of testimony, to tell about his work. He said something like this, I went to Africa when I was a young medical missionary. My wife went with me, and we were so excited about the work. We built a compound deep in the bush country. I began to pull teeth to doctor sores to help them medically. I also began to witness to them of Christ. and I helped them medically, but it was not seeing them saved. My wife became ill, and she spent much of her time on the back part of the compound in a little shack there. She could not help in the work, and I became so discouraged. And I went to the Lord, and I said, "Lord, I'm a failure at this. I came here to build churches, to win these people to Christ. I wanted to help them medically, and I'm doing that, but I'm not seeing them saved. And I wish you would just let me go back to the United States. I'll become the pastor of a little church, and I'll be faithful to you. I promise I will, but I'm a failure here. Won't you just let me go back?" And he said it was as if the Lord reached out his hand to me, and I could almost see the blood as they dripped from the wounds in his hands. And he said to me, "When I was here on the earth, I preached the same thing you're preaching, and they didn't believe me either. Why don't you just continue and leave the results to me?" He said, "I decided that I would." And presently, my wife became much better, and she began to help in the work, and we saw people saved. And Charles Greenaway said, "I stayed there in Africa for over 50 years, building churches." Young songwriter Ira Stanfield was in the audience, and he heard this story, and tears began to course down his cheeks, and he went home still weeping. Through the night, he tried to sleep. His tears awoke him the next morning, perhaps. He went to the piano, and he told me, he said, "My hands fell on the keys of the piano, and as the tears dropped off of my chin, I thought of this story, and I wrote this song. I traveled down a lonely road, and no one seemed to care. The burden on my weary back had bowed me to despair. I oft complained to Jesus how folks were treating me. And then I heard him say so tenderly, my feet were all so weary upon the Calvary Road. The cross became so heavy, I fell beneath the load. Be faithful, weary pilgrim, the morning I can see. Just lift your cross and follow close to me."
When the roll call of great preachers is made, the name of Elisha Hoffman is usually omitted. But he was a great preacher, and for a few moments of relaxation, he would like to go down to the homes across the tracks, where the poor people lived, and there he administered to them. One day he knocked on a door, and he saw a woman come to the door who was in the depths of despair. Neighbors had been in and tried to help her. Other ministers had been by. They had read scriptures to her. They had prayed with her, but to no avail. And he did the same. He talked for a while. He pled with her. He read the Bible to her. But she just would not find comfort. And finally, in desperation, Elisha Hoffman said, "Ma'am, I don't know what to tell you. You'll just have to tell Jesus about it." And she said, "Yes, I must tell Jesus." And for the first time in a long time, a light broke across her face. And so he left her with that thought and made his way slowly back to his home. And as he went, words began to form in his mind, and he wrote a beautiful, beautiful song. I'd like to sing it for you right now.
I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, he kindly will help me. who can help my burden to bear? I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus. He all my cares and sorrows will share. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus. I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell
Terry, and that's the story behind the song. The famous pastor and hymn writer Robert Lowry joined hands and heart with one of his parishioners to give America and the world one of the great hymns of comfort and devotion. Annie Sherwood Hawks was born in Hoosick, New York in 1835. She showed a poetic bent at the age of 14, and much of her work was published in newspapers. 10 years later, she moved to Brooklyn and became a member of the Hanson Place Baptist Church, of which Dr. Lowry was the pastor. He encouraged her to keep writing and actually started her on her hymn writing ventures. One morning in her home, she was busy about the chores at hand, and she gives the testimony that her home seemed to take on the light of heaven as she was in the very presence of God. The words, "I need thee every hour," flashed into her mind. She hurriedly found pencil and paper and began to write, and phrases just flowed from her pencil. In just a few moments, she had completed a poem. And this is the first stanza of that poem. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. I'm Lindsay Terry, and that's the story behind the song. Many of our hymns were composed as men wrote exactly what they felt in their hearts at the time. Such was the case in the writing of this particular song about which I want to tell you now. Ray Palmer was fresh out of Yale. He went to New York to teach school for a while. And one night, while in this great city, he sat down in his room and put in verse form the feelings of his heart. He had done this sort of thing since his childhood. This night, the Lord seemed particularly near and dear to him, and so he began to write. And on, till 4 stanzas were completed. He copied them from the single sheet on which he had written them into his pocket notebook to refer to them when he needed a lift, never intending that anyone else should ever see it, save he alone. Several months later, he met Dr. Lowell Mason in the streets of Boston. Dr. Mason asked him to furnish some hymns for a hymnal that he and Dr. Hastings were about to publish. And just then, for the first time, Mr. Palmer showed the poem to another person, Dr. Mason hurriedly copied the words on another sheet of paper. Actually, they walked into a little store there and asked for a piece of brown paper, and he copied the words off. And he became so interested that he wrote a tune for it. The tune was called Olivet. A few days later, the two men just happened to meet on the streets again of that same city, and Dr. Mason said to Ray Palmer, "You may live many years and do many things, but I think you will be best known to posterity as the author of this song." My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear me while I pray. Take all my guilt away. Holy thine. I'm Lindsay Terry, and that's the story behind the song. Years ago in Philadelphia, Dudley Ting was the speaker for a great series of evangelistic services in a place called Jan's Hall. Dudley Ting was a mighty preacher. And one night during the meetings, it was a men's meeting, someone said that as many as 1,000 men came to know Christ as Savior. Others reported perhaps as many as 2,000. But nonetheless, it was a great meeting. Sometime later, Dudley Ting was in his study, and he thought for a few moments of relaxation that he'd go down behind the house to the barn where the workmen were operating a corn shelling machine. This was years ago. He walked over to the corn shelling machine, and there they had a mule tied to a long bar, and the mule circled the machine, and that caused the machinery to work and ground the corn. He walked up to the mule, who was standing still at that time, and began to pat the animal on the neck. It startled the mule, and it started up, and the bar knocked Dudley Ting backwards into the machinery. And before they could get the frightened animal stop, Dudley Ting's sleeve was drawn into the cogs of the machinery, and his arm was so badly lacerated that he lay dying a few days later. They had removed the arm at the shoulder, but because of the loss of blood and the lack of medical knowledge and the shock to his system, Dudley Ting was about to pass away. His old preacher father leaned over him, and he said, "Dudley, young men have been working with you in this great revival. Is there some message that you'd like to give to them?" And then Dudley Ting, in a voice that was perhaps just above a whisper, said, "Yes, tell them to stand up for Jesus." A young man by the name of George Duffield was standing nearby, and the following Sunday morning, he closed his sermon in his church with a poem that he had written when he that day heard Dudley Ting say, "Yes, tell them to stand up for Jesus."
Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From till every foe is vanquished and Christ is Lord indeed.
I'm Lindsay Terry, and that's the story behind the song. It has been my privilege to know many songwriters, and one songwriter that was such a wonderful friend was Charles Weigel. He lived for nearly a century. He died in his 95th year. Dr. Weigel wrote more than 400 gospel songs. His most wonderful and popular song went around the world, and I understand was translated into about 40 different languages at the last count. But like many songs, Dr. Weigel's song was born out of sorrow. Many of the great songs that mean much to you and to me were written because someone went through a dark period of suffering, and out of the suffering came a sunbeam, a song. One day Dr. Weigel was about to preach, and someone slipped a note to him on the platform. He hurriedly read the note. It was from his wife, and she said, "Charles, I'm leaving. I can't take this life anymore." He wanted to cry out, but he went ahead and preached. And he found out when the sermon and the service were over that his wife had left. About 5 years later, he met up with her on the streets, and she had become a woman of the world. He was so brokenhearted. And after she left, he began to just kind of wander about. He was so depressed, so down. He walked out onto a pier near his home there. He looked into the dark waters, and Satan said to him, "You could just end it all right here." But he drew back from that thought, and he thought, "No, I won't do that. That would be wrong." And so he walked slowly back to his home. He walked into the house. He sat down at the piano, and his hands fell on the keys, and he said, "In just about 20 minutes, God gave me a song. It was like a day spring from on high." And this is Dr. Weigel's wonderful song. "I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found in him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me." I'm Lindsay Terry, and that's the story behind the song. In one hand the wandering orphan carried a small bundle of clothes. In the other he clutched a roll of paper. James Montgomery was born in Scotland in 1771. When he was 6 years old, his missionary father and mother placed him in a boarding school and sailed for the West Indies. Both died shortly afterward. At 10, James Montgomery was writing verse. At 12, he failed in school. At 16, he was roaming the streets of England trying to sell his verses. The young poet was given a job on the weekly newspaper, the Sheffield Register. He later owned the newspaper. Government officials twice threw the young publisher into jail because of his outspoken political views. On Christmas Eve, 1816, Montgomery published in his paper a hymn poem under the title Nativity. On April 30th, 1854, James Montgomery died peacefully in his sleep. 13 years later, a blind organist by the name of Henry Smart wrote a beautiful melody, Regency Square. And so these two men gave the world the beautiful Angels from the Realms of Glory. I'm Lindsay Terry, and that's the story behind the carol. In need of material to fill out space in the Church of England's Book of Common Prayer, the printer took upon himself to insert a poem that began, "Hark how all the welkins ring," by an Anglican clergyman named Charles Wesley. It is said that attempts were later made to remove the hymn. Charles Wesley usually scribbled his hymn poems rapidly, and he seldom took time to polish his works.
Hark the Herald Angels Sing has been edited so many times that few lines remain as Wesley wrote them. Nor in this case did he even bother to give his hymn a title. He merely wrote over the poem, Hymn for Christmas Day, and let it go at that. In England in 1855, a 19-year-old tenor named William Cummings was doing a bit of vocalizing on an opera written by Felix Mendelssohn, Germany's boy wonder. The thought struck him that the second chorus of the opera could be adopted to Wesley's Hymn for Christmas Day. And so the famous Felix Mendelssohn and the giant of the hymn writers, Charles Wesley, passed down to us and to the world, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. I'm Lindsay Terry, and that's the story behind the carol. Christmas is precious to little children the world over. They identify with the babe in the manger. Both words and music of the delightful Christmas carol, Away in a Manger, are thought to have been written by Martin Luther for his little son Hans one Christmas Eve. It is known that Luther was a most affectionate father and enjoyed nothing more than to have the members of his family about him as he taught them to sing. In many instances, the tune for this delightful carol, Away in a Manger, is called Luther's Cradle Song, and it is a happy thought to believe that Luther wrote this beautiful little carol for his youngest. For a Christmas Day program in a Methodist church just after the turn of the century, Bishop William Anderson asked Dr. John T. McFarland in New York City to write a third stanza, and so he did. And what would Christmas be like if we didn't have Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus lay down his sweet head, the stars in the sky looked down where he lay, the little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to stay, close by me forever, and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care, and take us to heaven to live with thee there. I'm Lindsay Terry, and that's the story behind the carol.